Please be seated. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The politics of our leaders, I think I am safe to say, are just plain out of touch. Now, when I say politics, I'm not just talking about elected officials and the governmental process. I'm also talking about you and me, the opinions we hold, the decisions we make, and the ways we relate to one another. Let me give you some context and examples of what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about racism and prejudice. I'm thinking about refugees, immigration, and radical Islam. I'm thinking about economic systems that create and promote income equality, inequality. I'm thinking about strength and peace that are sought through superior firepower. I'm thinking about the tragedy of gun violence. I'm thinking about those who go to bed hungry and wake up wondering if and what they will eat that day. I'm thinking about violence and discrimination against women. I'm thinking about Washington, D.C., and the capitals of the world. I'm thinking about the conflicts that still exist in our church and the Anglican Communion. I'm thinking about the struggles and challenges of just living together in our marriages and families, in our friendships, and in our relationships. While politics may not be an appropriate topic for polite conversations, I don't think it can be avoided in the church's conversation. And here's why. Regardless of what politics might mean today, and regardless of how it's practiced today, its most basic concern is about the ordering of relationships. It's about the way we live together and how we get along. It's about people. Those concerns are central to our faith as Christians. We believe that God has something to say about how we live and treat one another. We open ourselves to God's ordering of our lives and relationships. In that regard, the incarnation, the embodiment of God in humanity, is a deeply profound political statement. The life of Christ is a political statement, one that reorders our relationships with God and each other. It teaches us and shows us a way of being. So let me be clear of where I'm headed. I don't want to talk about your politics or my politics. I'm not interested in Democratic, Republican, or American politics. I want us to hear and focus on Jesus's politics. I want us to be open to letting the politics of Jesus challenge, critique, and even change our personal politics. For Jesus's politics has implications for our lives. The politics of Jesus is different from the kind of politics most of us see, experience, and might even practice. His politic is driven, led, anointed, and filled by the Spirit, the life of God. Jesus' political identity begins not with party affiliation or constituents, but with his baptism. He was immersed in the waters of creation, and the heaven opened, and the Spirit descended on him in bodily form, and a voice from heaven declared, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." From there, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he overcame the great temptations and corruptors of all politics, materialism, power, and self-interest. In the wilderness, Jesus claimed his identity and refined and clarified his message and the direction of his life. He left the wilderness empowered by the Spirit and taught in the synagogues of Galilee. The people liked what they heard. Jesus was praised by everyone. In last week's gospel, Jesus comes to Nazareth, the town where he grew up, and to the synagogue where he worshiped, and to the people who knew him. And he reads from the scrolls the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those words describe the politics of Jesus. Good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, and declaring God's favor are the building blocks of Jesus' politics, his political platform, if you will. They are not campaign promises, but a present reality, a reality made present in Jesus. For today, Jesus says, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Those words from Isaiah and Jesus' comment on them are the first recorded words of Jesus' public ministry. The words Jesus read from Isaiah are not an exact quotation of Isaiah. Jesus has intentionally and purposefully chosen and arranged particular portions of Isaiah's text to create a specific message. This message is often referred to as his inaugural address. Jesus is outlining his politics. He is describing the character of his ministry. He is establishing his priorities and the direction of his work. He is casting his vision for the reordering of relationships. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, declaring God's favor. From here on out, everything Jesus does will be grounded in a politics of good news, release, sight, freedom, divine favor. His politics is revealed in healing the sick, casting out demons, forgiving sins, feeding the hungry, raising the dead. His politics stands at the very center of and is the content of his crucifixion and resurrection. Look at the world, read the news, reflect on your life, and it's not hard to see how much we need new politics, a Jesus kind of politics. Think back on those examples I gave at the beginning. Each of those is a story in which someone or some people is poor, captive, blind, oppressed, or in need of divine favor. They are stories of pain and hurt. And sometimes they are our own personal stories. Jesus' politics is large and all-encompassing. No one gets left out. Jesus does not put conditions or qualifiers on his politics. The divine favor knows no boundaries and has no favorites. That's what upsets and angers the hometown crowd in this week's gospel. Jesus' political agenda is not determined or influenced by who is good or bad or who is inside or outside. It doesn't seem to matter to Jesus who you are, what you have done or left undone, or what your life is like. It's really pretty simple. Are you poor good news to you. Are you a captive? Release for you. Are you blind? Sight to you. Are you oppressed? Go in freedom. Divine favor is not given to the poor, the captive, the blind, or the oppressed because they are good or righteous, but because God is good and righteous. So let me ask all of us this. How do the politics of Jesus compare with our own? How does it compare with our American politics? How does it compare with the world's politics? Good news to the poor, release to the captive, sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, declaring God's favor. If that's the politics of Jesus, and we claim to be disciples, followers, lovers of Jesus, then doesn't it need to be our politics? Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, Jesus says. Let us not ignore Jesus' politics and drive him to the edge of a hill so we can throw all that he asks of us off the cliff. For if we do, he will simply pass right through our midst and go away.